News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. So I already had one person just text me, Copper, and say, it sounds like you're like a Durant fan. No, I'm a fan of getting to know these candidates. That's what I'm trying to do here. I mean, but the reality is, whatever. I'm intent upon making sure this show gives you every opportunity to hear them, and that's the point. Hey folks, I got to stop too and tell you, 1819news.com. So you hear their ads running on the show. In fact, Copper, remind me, we got some new ads for them. We got to drop in sometime soon. But 1819news.com, I know the folks that run that, and they're good at what they do. And they came in, boy, they made a splash. So 1819 News, that's 1819news.com, named for the year that Alabama became a state. Their goal is to provide clear and unequivocal news. I mean, they got a lot of great editorial content. I say that because Copper and I also write for them. But yeah, 1819 News, they're reporters, and they have a whole staff of reporters. I was talking to one this morning. They're out there calling the balls and strikes. You don't have a lot of what I call the skew and the spew in the middle of their storyline. You don't have to weed through the opinion to get to the news. It's important that you have that. So I want to encourage you to check it out. In fact, I just noticed that Jeff Poor, my friend who comes on the Grand Council with us once a week, he writes the political columns for them. He just did a story on my interview with Eric Johnston about the Alabama abortion bill that came out or that we did last Friday. So that's up there on 1819 as of today. Thank you, Jeff Poor, for that one. Even with a link to the podcast. That's very cool. All right, so we're going to go back now to the Triple Dipper. Before I do that, though, I will say this. I've got a caller on line one, Gary from Decatur. Hey, Gary, Phil Williams, how you doing?
Hey, Phil. I was just calling to comment as you got on the text. It really did sound like you didn't challenge candidate Durant very much in that interview.
What did you want me to challenge him on, Gary?
Well, I would have at least made him deny some of the you called the bad super PAC ads.
Yeah, he actually did that on my show last time. He's been on the show more than once. He came on. In fact, I was the only interview he did after what was the one that came out more recently on the Second Amendment, I guess. He came out and denied that. In fact, that became the story for the week, was his comments from my show denying that one. And then he just denied the one a minute ago on the air about saying that he's not from here and why that doesn't really matter. So which other ones do you want me to talk to you about?
Well, it came up last night. We had the congressional candidates from District 5 here in Decatur.
Yeah.
And it was mentioned about one of the candidates mentioned in passing that he'd never take money from the Lincoln Project.
Okay. Durant actually came out just about 4 or 5 days ago. And by the way, I'm not trying to defend him. I'm just saying, when I've already got an answer out there, it's sometimes it's not necessary for me to go and get it twice. But he just came out a few days ago and said that he doesn't take money from the Lincoln Project. He's not sure what the Lincoln Project really is. So that was already his answer on the record for that one.
Okay, well then I'm a little misinformed there. Then no, apologize for that.
No, in fact, maybe I should have asked him that one too. I thought we covered most of them, but I didn't cover that one. You're right. But Gary, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Yeah. All right. Listen. This show does not endorse, so I will say that right up front. This show does not endorse. It's not my place to endorse. I know some shows do. I don't. It's a general rule. The door is open. And by the way, I've been saying, you know, that Katie Britt has been declining to come on the show for a long time. But if she wants to come on, the door is still open. Mo Brooks will be on at the top of the hour. So there's that. Hey, listen, I did this number one of the Triple Dipper. Let me jump back on that real quick. Number one of the Triple Dipper, I ran you through the horse racing polls that we're in right now for the U.S. Senate race, talked about it a little bit with Brooks and, I mean, with Durant, and I'll probably cover some of that with Mo Brooks when he calls in, because right now, according to the latest poll, I mean, you can't count anybody out. I mean, it's down to it. Folks, we've got, and you've got three vastly different candidates. So we've got Katie Britt, who understands Washington, D.C. from having worked in Richard Shelby's office as his chief of staff. She was the president of the Business Council of Alabama She's been a lobbyist. She knows the ins and outs of the political realm, and she has a huge amount of connections here in the state of Alabama due to her BCA connection, especially, and with Senator Shelby, with what I would call the associations, things like Blue Cross Blue Shield, Alpha, the Forestry Association, all of those associations that represent large groups of or swaths of people. So that's Katie Britt. Then you've got Mo Brooks has an entirely different resume. Mo Brooks has got his degree in economics. He's got a period of service in D.C. since 2011, I believe. So he's been 10 years in D.C. serving as a congressman, a member of the Freedom Caucus, endorsed by Club for Growth, which is one of the most conservative groups out there that endorses candidates. He's been in the trenches. So Mo Brooks has got a resume that says, here's my voting record. Nobody else has a voting record, but mine is there, and you can go look and see what I voted for and voted against. So there's Mo Brooks. And then you got Mike Durant, who came out of nowhere. People didn't see him coming in. They thought it was going to be a Brooks and Britt race, and then it became a Brooks, Britt, and Durant race because Mike Durant came in with a completely different resume, retired career in the military, highly decorated, a POW at one point during the Battle of Mogadishu in Somalia back in the 90s, and then took his military experience and parlayed that into building a business in the defense community here in Huntsville. Made Alabama his home, raised his family here. So he's got the business military background. I mean, could you ask? I mean, and here they are all three polling at the top. One's on top, the other two are down. Another one's on top, and the other two are down. This race has been all over the place. And the crazy thing is, it's not because the candidates are all so similar. They are all extremely different. I've said multiple times what I really wish I had. I would break my rule and endorse a candidate if I had something like Katie Britt's personality and connections with Mike Durant's resume and Mo Brooks's voting record. If I had all three wrapped up into one candidate, that'd be like a super candidate, and I would feel like we could just go with it and call it done. But we don't. We have those three. Each one brings their own nuances. You guys got to get to know them, y'all. Got to get to know them. We're seeing some of the same stuff in the governor's race. Huh. Governor's race is about as weird as the U.S. Senate race. Now, I will say this. Consistently, Kay Ivey's been on top. Consistently. Inconsistently, Kay Ivey has been polling in a place where she's going to be able to avoid a runoff. So let me talk about some numbers in that race. Like, for instance, the most recent poll we have, this one's dated March 16th, and then we have another one dated March 21st. So those two within, you know, a week of each other. One of them showed Kay Ivey at 60%. Like, what? 60%. It's like an outlier poll. And that one was done by, who was that done by? I don't even see who it was done by. It does not say who takes credit for it in the article that I've got here from CBS 42. But nonetheless, that one showed Kay Ivey at 60%. It's one of the only ones where she polled above 50. Tim James next at 13.6. Blanchard at 10.6. Didn't even have, that's why one of the reasons why it bothered me was it didn't even have Lou Burdett and Dean Odell's name in it. It just said, all it was Ivy, James, Blanchard, other. Well, when you do that, it's a skewed poll. I think this was an internal poll for the Ivy campaign. That's why I take that one with a huge grain of salt. But then you had another one. Todd Stacey, who runs Alabama Daily News, collaborated again with Gray Television, and they commissioned an outside poll. That one came back perhaps a little more accurate. Over 600 Republican primary voters were surveyed. 46% said Kay Ivey. 12.4% said Tim James, and 10.4% said Lindy Blanchard. And then you had Dean Odell at 4.7, Lou Burdett at 1.6. At least they had the names in that one. All right. My anticipation is Lou Burdett is much higher. Last I heard, his internal polling was showing him at 8, 9, 10%, somewhere in there. Here's the thing. Look at this. If Kay Ivey does not get to, I mean, first of all, I've said it on the show before. If Kay Ivey is an incumbent governor with a long history in state politics and she cannot consistently poll for re-election above 50%, it's a clear indication she's got problems. And if she's polling, let's take this last poll here of March 21st from Alabama Daily News and Gray Television. If she's at 46%, you have 21% undecided. And then you have Tim James, Lindy Blanchard, Dean Odle, Lou Burdett, and you got some other names like Stacey George and Dean Young, and they're all in this race. Well, guess what's going to happen? You're going to wind up with a runoff. Right now, if this poll is accurate, it's going to be Tim James or potentially Lindy Blanchard. But what's going to happen is the vast majority of people who were already not supporting Kay Ivey are going to wind up not supporting her in the runoff and switching their vote to whoever's running against her in the runoff. If that's the case, Tim James has the opportunity to pick up. Let's say Tim James. I'm just going to throw that out there as a possibility. Let's say Tim James, who's at 12.4%, also picks up Lindy Blanchard's 10. He's at 22. He gets Dean Odle's 4.7. That's almost 5. Let's go ahead and just say that makes him, he's at 27. Lou Burdett and Stacey George and Dean Young's numbers drop over, and half the undecideds. I'm going to tell you right now, that's a horse race, y'all. That's a horse race. So that, run the numbers on that, hard to figure. But right now, I'm still anticipating a runoff in the governor's race, a runoff in the U.S. Senate race, and a runoff in the Congressional District 5 race up here in the listening area. All right, Copper, take us to a break. We will do that now and come back after the break, kind of wrap up this segment. Top of the hour, Congressman Mo Brooks, who's also running for the U.S. Senate, will be on the show with us, calling in from D.C., I believe. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So here, 3:52 p.m. right now. Listen, we got Mo Brooks coming up top of the hour, and I'm going to want to hear him. I mean, he's down to it too. I mean, the guys in D.C., you know, one of the things that the others have the luxury of doing is campaigning without being, you know, weighed down by having to go up there and deal with Nancy Pelosi. So I will say that's got to be a hoot right now, having to be in D.C. to do the job you were elected to do, but also running for a job that would let you go back to D.C. and do more of the same job. But the job that you're in because you were elected to do it sometimes impedes your ability to go and get elected to do the job you're trying to get done. Did I say all that? Did Copper work with me here?
Yeah, my brain caught up eventually.
Okay. All right. So anyway, I passed the Copper test. Okay. So that's good. But yeah, that's tough. So anyway, Mo Brooks calling in top of the hour. You're going to want to hear that. So I was talking about the governor's race a while ago. And you know, truthfully, I was talking to Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth the other day, not on the show, just talking to him on the phone. We've known each other for a long time. And he's the only one that has the luxury right now. I think that's right. The only one that has the luxury right now of running a statewide race without competition. I mean, not even a Democrat. Just without competition. Basically, his name's going to be on the ballot, and unless someone has a massive write-in campaign at the last minute, he'll be the lieutenant governor again without, you know, any trouble. I've heard there's only two ways to run, scared and unopposed. And right now, he has the benefit of the better of the two, unopposed. I never had that luxury. It was something. But I do know for a fact that these campaigns, they don't work without people. I mean, the candidates can get wrung out, and the candidate's name is on the line. And sometimes it feels like it's a complete, you know, popularity contest. Do you like me? Do you not like me? Check yes, check no. But that's true. But you know what? It's the grassroots folks who make it happen. None of this works, folks, unless people like y'all get involved. So pick your candidate. Go after it. Go put up a sign. Go meet them somewhere on the stump, shake their hand, decide if they look like the person you think they were in the commercial, and do they sound right? And you know what? You're not going to know everything about them. And I hear all the stuff right now. Why that candidate? I mean, I heard this thing and them being supported by so-and-so, and I don't believe they understand, and I don't – do you know? At some point, you just got to take, you know, you got to take your lumps and go, okay, I'm going with the one that I think is the best, and all I can do is hope for the best. And the only way you can do that is to be a well-informed voter. What they count on, by the way, with a lot of these negative ads, and I mean against every candidate. I mean, there's ads being run against Katie Britt, calling her an illicit lobbyist, you know, calling her somebody who's been out there just soaking it up in the public sector. Then there's other ads that are being run against Mike Durant, that he's being supported by the Lincoln Project, and he's anti-Second Amendment. I have a hard time believing that a guy who flew Blackhawks in the military is anti-Second Amendment. Then you got the campaign ads against Mo Brooks. You know, Mo Brooks doesn't really stand for the things he says he stands for. Mo Brooks raised your taxes. Mo Brooks voted against our military. Well, okay, really? You think so? Is that what you really think? What they're hoping for there is the low-information voter. That's what they want. What they're hoping is that they're going to catch you unawares in some passionate moment. You're going to hear something and go, oh, I didn't know that about that. Is that true? Really? And it's going to create that level of disconcerting feelings about their opponent. While at the same time, they're spending big money to drive their own numbers up. It's a game. In the end, you know what it matters the most? Is what do you want? And in this case, you've got three completely different candidates. They all claim the mantle of conservatism. Right now, only one has a voting record. Only one has worked in D.C. but not been in office. And the other one is coming in from the outside, not having done either. But they all three claim the mantle of conservatism. What are you going to do? And folks, the only thing you can do, literally, go read their websites. But Phil, that's what they say about themselves. Yes, it is. But you know what? If their resume says I got a degree from so-and-so and I spent time working here, it's probably true. That part is probably true. If they say, I've got X number of kids and I've been married this many times, I mean, that's probably true. And you can make your decisions based on some of that can't be argued. And then you have to hope for the best on the rest. And you know, having been in the midst and having also had the negative ads run against me personally and the negative mailers that show up in my own mailbox, and you're like, okay, really? I didn't know I was that bad of a guy. But nonetheless, I take all that with a grain of salt. You got to go find out the good in each. You got to go find out which one you think will stand up. You got to go find out which one you think will support the agenda you best believe in. You got to spend a little time. I encourage you, before you ever go to the polls, know what you're going to do. And I don't mind. I mean, I don't mind that people call me. I've had people call me from the polls. Hey, Phil, I'm sitting in the polls right now, and I'm about to vote on this thing, but I don't know which one. Who do you like? And that's okay. I mean, I get it. At least they're trying to find out something. Or maybe they got caught unawares because they had focused on two other races and missed the third. But folks, I'm just going to tell you, get a sample ballot. Go online. Check the endorsements. If you're a gun guy, what does the NRA say about them? If you're a firm believer in school choice, what do they say about that? If you're someone who believes in strong fiscal conservatism, does Club for Growth's platform matter to you because they've endorsed, at this point, Mo Brooks? If you're going to do whatever Trump says, then you may already have it figured out. All right. Plenty more where that came from, but right now we're headed to a break. Coming right back, we got Congressman Mo Brooks calling in. He is one of the top three right now, vying for the place to be U.S. Senator for the great state of Alabama. Stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.